Allora, buonasera a tutti. Durante la manifestazione Arte e Scienza, che avete visto qui alla Stida, realizzata insieme allo ZKM, il Museo di Castro, con Chiede Institute e con il Centro di Ricerca Musicali, che si è occupato di questo rapporto complesso che esiste tra le discipline della ricerca scientifica e il mondo della creatività, che tra l'altro offrono straordinari, interessanti e talvolta inquietanti punti di contatto, con sovrapposizioni e anche sorprendenti congiunzioni. Durante questa manifestazione, stanno dicendo, abbiamo voluto incontrare questo architetto Zenetus, incontrare in senso metaforico, ovviamente incontriamo loro. L'occasione è questo libro scritto dall'architetto Papa Alexopoulos e l'architetto Trafati, che è stato stampato qui per edizioni delle vie stampa, credo di notarlo che ha avuto responsabilità pesanti in questa cosa, e che ci illustra un personaggio un po' fuori dalla tradizione, come se volete un anticipatore, una persona che riesce a antevedere, capire le cose prima che accadano, e come al solito le persone che guardano molto più in là di loro hanno sempre vita un po' difficile, stiamo parlando adesso di vita difficile, di vita complessa, con tutta una serie di difficoltà e contraddizioni che alla fine, diciamo, creano più disagio che non soddisfazione. Adesso non sappiamo, stavamo parlando anche prima, non sappiamo se la tua morte suicida è dovuta anche a questo, ma insomma certamente anche questo contribuisce spesso. Però ci piace vedere come la mente umana certe volte riesca ad andare al di là addirittura della capacità scientifica, cioè l'immaginazione, la creatività, la capacità dell'uomo di creare diciamo scenari che non esistono se non nella capacità di immaginare, perché non esistono se non le prime condizioni di partenza a livello scientifico. È straordinario ed è divertente che molto spesso la scienza arrivi dopo a confermare queste intuizioni, e che quindi la mente possa anticipare di molto quello che la scienza riesce a fare sul piano della sperimentazione. Quindi vedere questa, diciamo, questa esperienza, di cui ci parleranno più in dettaglio gli altri, è per noi anche un modo per capire le possibilità straordinarie che un nostro mondo professionale, il nostro mondo di immaginazione ha e può in qualche modo raggiungere. Devo dire che non conoscevo, diciamo, l'architetto Zenetus, che portando al mondo, diciamo, greco parecchio tempo, e quindi per me, anche per me, una scoperta interessante che seguirò con voi durante la giornata. Mi pare fondamentale comunque questa riconnessione che nell'immaginario lui fa tra il mondo della scienza, della tecnologia avanzata, l'applicazione dei sistemi alfanumerici, matematici, anche informatici, all'architettura, quando ancora l'informatica è ancora balbettata. Quindi è un'esperienza sicuramente quella di adesso. Vi ringrazio, passo la parola per la sua presentazione. Vi potete augurarvi un buon lavoro.
Sì, molto volentieri e libero.
Sì, allora io sarò brevissimo, perché insieme a voi mi aspetto altro che vedere questi progetti, di vedere insieme a voi appunto quest'opera di questo greco, che anch'io non conoscevo, come Amedeo, è stata per me una rivelazione, come suggerisce Nino nella sua presentazione. Sente?
Sì.
Allora, io innanzitutto anch'io ringrazio gli autori del libro, e ringrazio soprattutto Nino di averci offerto questa occasione eccezionale di conoscere questa avventura, che è un'avventura legata alla costruzione dello spazio, spazio architettonico, che i progetti di questo architetto greco raccontano con grande forza. Io mi sono letto il libro in fine settimana e devo dire che è stata una lettura vincente, perché è un libro che racconta non soltanto gli spazi architettonici, ma anche i racconti di vita, di passioni dirette. La passione ormai non è più uno degli elementi cardine di questo progetto internazionale, un po' che leggiamo nelle riviste di architettura contemporanea. E leggendo questo libro, la cosa che più mi è rimasta impressa è l'approccio al tema del progetto, cioè non tanto la novità più volte sottolineata dell'uso, della previsione dell'importanza delle nuove tecnologie nella progettazione architettonica, ma nel valore che l'autore dà alle nuove tecnologie. L'autore non utilizza soltanto la multimedialità di tipo analogica, proprio del periodo in cui operava, nel 50, 60 e 70. L'autore soprattutto coglie un aspetto culturale legato alle nuove tecnologie. Questo è l'aspetto che a me è più interessato nell'opera di Zenko. Cioè, aver colto in un periodo assolutamente non, dove le tecnologie non raccontavano appunto la loro cultura, ma soprattutto la loro forza. Negli anni 70 e 70 si prevedeva, come dire, la tecnologia come muscolo, ma non tanto come cervello, come idea. Invece nell'operare di questo architetto greco si nota attraverso i suoi scritti degli anni 50, attraverso il segno della sua matita, l'intuizione della potenza tecnologica come cultura, quindi la tecnologia come fatto culturale. Ed è qui che poi possiamo ricondurre il filo rosso di questo lavoro, di questo geniale interprete, e mi associo perfettamente alle bellissime parole della prefazione di Lino, quando tratteggia la figura di Zenekos come un vero genio della gestione del progetto. Perché in tutti questi progetti si leggono parole che io qui mi sono segnato, non so, si parla di morphing, a pagina 22, si parla del ruolo attivo del futuro dell'architettura, a pagina 21. Mi sono segnato le pagine proprio appunto per segnalare che in tutte queste pagine ci sono queste parole chiave che sono veramente, per dire, hanno un'anima. Si parla della defondazione, di un'architettura defondata, di connessione, si parla di immateriale, si parla di interno e esterno, si parla di involucro, si parla di questa città, di questa bellissima idea di città di cui poi spero possiamo vedere alcune immagini, fatta per piani sovrapposti, dove le informazioni sono tra loro interrelate. Queste cose ormai per noi sono la normalità della progettazione contemporanea, no? Però riferita agli anni 60, riferita a questa capacità di scrittura di Zenekos, credo sia veramente eccezionale. Ma arriviamo al punto chiave. La dimensione quindi del progetto è legata a un metodo non muscolare tecnologico, non si tratta di hardware, ma si tratta semplicemente di l'avventura delle idee in continuità con il genere dell'architettura. Quindi io direi che il valore di questo architetto è soprattutto la dimensione etica legata alle nuove tecnologie, come molto bene sottolineano gli autori del libro. E a tale riguardo, tornando anche a come dicevamo io prima, a maggio e questi primi di giugno qui a Roma stanno accadendo le cose un po' strane e molto particolari, apparentemente non tra di loro connesse, ma a fin dei conti un filo rosso c'è. Si è chiusa qualche giorno fa l'UNIAM, la Galleria Nazionale di Valle Giulia, la mostra degli ambienti sensibili, degli ambienti interattivi del gruppo T. Una mostra molto bella che ripropone gli antecedenti, i pionieri di quello che vediamo qui dello ZKM. Bene, fine maggio. Poi c'è stata la mostra dello ZKM che va letta, come sapete bene, come una mostra storica, in quanto c'è un repertorio dagli anni 90 al 2002 delle opere chiave della multimedialità applicata allo spazio architettonico. Bene, chiudere queste manifestazioni con questo, da parte mia, scusate l'ignoranza, inaspettato autore, credo che sia stato veramente eccezionale, perché abbiamo così ricondotto un filo rosso. A queste mostre romane io ci aggiungerei anche la bella mostra di Antonello alle Scuderie, perché anche lì c'è la storia di un genio che ha costruito uno spazio con la tecnologia della prospettiva. Allora, in questo maggio e in questo giugno romano, se noi andiamo a mettere insieme questi pezzi, io credo che ci sia veramente l'occasione per riflettere su questa storia, vincente storia il rapporto tra uomo e tecnologia, ma in senso etico, non in senso, appunto, come dicevo prima, muscolare, appunto questo stile internazionale di omologazione che fa molto spesso, che relega le tecnologie a un ruolo conformativo. Bene, Tennyson ci ha insegnato che le tecnologie non sono conformative del pensiero, ma il centro e lo spazio è sempre quello della mente, lo spazio etico e della politica. Io credo che sia questo un insegnamento meraviglioso. E vi ringrazio ancora per l'occasione che mi avete dato di passare un fine settimana splendido con questo autore per me sconosciuto. Per cui vi ringrazio.
I think that I will talk in English would be easier and nicer for our friends. My English is so rude and so tough, I'm polite and so much Italian that would be fine for our Italian friends. But I think the important part for me now is to be around this table with all friends. This is almost a crucial value. And on the other side, the fact would be to have in the audience almost all people that I know personally, and that they have the sensibility to understanding how important is this event. The fact to be kind of a small number, it is on a way a value for me, like a small event, but very important. Professor Papalexopoulos will talk about Takis Xenakos, and you will have a lecture about his work, and you will understand what the value of his work is about. And I thank both President Amedeo and my dear friend Maurizio of the nice word. I think it's important, though, in this circumstance, to tell you the story of the book, to tell how this book came, because for me this is a particular joy. And so the other reason that I wanted to underline this point is because many persons in the audience are still young persons, and many are still students, some are young architects. So this talk is really mainly for them. So the story of the book is very, very strongly related to a student, to a Greek student, that was a student of mine in two moments, in the first year and then in the fifth year. This person that is called Chova Pulcheria, one day came in my office, and she said to me that she was doing her thesis work with a young professor in Greece. And then she started to show the enthusiasm that is typical of the young person, not only the type of work that she was doing, but also that the professor, that is Dimitris, was working on the restoration of a school in Greece, and she was thinking that the architect was very important. I said, "Oh, right, yeah, of course it's very important." But then she came up with pictures of Xenakos's work. And as soon as I saw the quality of the work, I was completely astonished by the quality of the work of Takis Xenakos. And of course, I don't consider myself very educated in architecture, so I thought, of course, this is very well known by everybody. But I continued to study the material that the student gave to me, and then I understood this other layer that is fundamental, the fact that Takis Xenakos has a vision of information technology already in the 50s and 60s, which was incredible. So I said to her, "Please put me in relationship with your professor." And luckily enough, the professor, that is Dimitris, knew my work in information technology, actually knew very well my work in information technology, I can say.
Very good work.
And as soon as I shaped the idea to have this book in the information technology series, And originally the book was called Zenaetos Revealed. And Dimitris started to work with the wife, architect Eleni Kalahati, that is very nicely here with us this evening, and we thank you for coming and to write this and to work as hard as Dimitri on this adventure. And they put together the book. And in the middle of this process, I came out without publisher. Suddenly the publisher disappeared. And I didn't know how to tell Dimitris that he was already been working on this book for 2 years almost, that I had no publisher in that moment. It was a kind of dramatic crisis for me, this. But at a certain moment I told you. And finally we found a publisher again. And so this book for us is a very, very meaningful book. Because of all this relationship, because is there are all these connections, and because it's about Zenaetos, first of all. I used to test people about, to understand how much important is this work. So I made interview to prominent Greek architects. Mutual friend is Marcos Novas, that knows very well architecture since ever and knows very well the issues of information technology, and is Greek. And he didn't know anything about Zenaetos, just was a completely zero for him, and the same for many others. Because really, the importance of this book, it is, I think, important, not only for us, but for Zenaetos per se, because he deserves all this attention. And I think he deserves our interest. So at this point, I'll give you the word to you. Okay.
Okay.
And I will translate in Italian every 5 to 8 minutes in order to not lose too much the pace. Images will be enough. So I will leave Dimitris talk, and then I will, as generally I do another conference, a parallel conference to you, without changing things around, but we will have fun.
Very nice.
We will have fun.
It's perfect. First of all, I have to thank you. I have to thank Mr. President for the honor to invite me here, and it's I think a double honor also for the work of Zenaetos, because it's done with the context of an exposition of digital technology, and I was very surprised when I saw it. So we couldn't have imagined a better way to start rethinking about an architect that was at his epoch known, not very well known, but Peter Cook waited his always the new work of Zenaetos, and then Zenaetos was forgotten. From suicide, and forgotten. And needless to say that I have to thank Antonino Saggio, but I don't know really how to thank him, because he has done so many, many things, so I try to find the word, but I don't know really. How to start talking about Zenaetos. It's not an innocent book. I have been working on digital technology since 1985, and on hybrid spaces and on parametric design and all of that. At a certain moment, I think that I thought that we have to start restudying the radical architecture of the 60s and the 70s to find a way to think about the changing paradigm in architecture with the digital. And of course it was very natural for me to start working in an informal way with Zenaetos, because when I was a young student in third grade of architecture, I have met Zenaetos. Zenaetos told me stories. I didn't understand a thing at the epoch. It was at 73. I didn't understand a thing. All I remembered from his many friendly talks was what we construct today must not restrict us in the future. Mm-hmm. Construct nothing that compromise future generations. But at the epoch, I don't think it was a strong epoch going, you know,
70, mi fermo soltanto su questo piccolissimo punto perché è importante. Non ho presentato l'architetto Dimitris Papalesnopoulos, ma lui ha sviluppato queste ricerche fin dagli anni 80, ha un dottorato in tecnologia a Parigi e conosce queste problematiche avendole praticate di persona. Ha raccontato questa cosa molto bella che, come è capitato a molti di noi in varie circostanze, qualche volta ci è capitato di incrociare i pionieri e non abbiamo capito quasi niente. E anche lui raccontava che lui ha parlato con Zenetos quando faceva il terzo anno nel 1973, era un giovanissimo studente di architettura e non ha capito quasi niente, però ha capito una cosa importante. Che Zenetos gli disse: attenzione, quando noi facciamo l'architettura dobbiamo essere sicuri di non compromettere le cose per le generazioni future.
So after we met with Antonino Saggio, we started working with Irene Calafati on the book. Irene is an historian is an architect. He does not practice architecture, but she is an historian of architecture, historian of civilization, and specialized in the history of technology. So he's a very strong person, a very strong mind, much stronger than my mind goes around. So we start working on this book, and with the help of Pulcheria Jova, who's very, very important node. Zenetos lived in Greece in 45, which is the civil war, and many, many Greeks leave the country at the moment. Xenakis also, you may know it, and Kandilis also. So there's people, that architects and people of art, leave Greece after the civil war for political reasons, and they start. He's in Paris and Zavaroni Atelier. He lives there until 56, and then he returns to Greece and starts working on architecture. I think he commits suicide in 77. He has over 120 projects, houses, factories, office buildings, etc. Put that on?
Yes, this one. Okay.
Okay. I'll try today to give you a hint of the work of Zenetos and what I think is some of his principles and concepts and the organization of his works. Zenetos builds, Zenetos designs, but he also, during all his life, from architectural life, from 53 till his suicide, he works on a project that he calls electronic urbanism, and which in fact is a technotopia electronic urbanism moves always towards the digital material, and at the same time his thinking maintains vertical and complex relation with the constructed work.
Avete bisogno che vi traduca o va bene così? Nessuno dice niente. Okay.
There are things that Zenetos designs his constructed work, and then he feeds up to the work of the electronic urbanism, and the things that he cannot do in his constructed work, that he tried to design in abstracto in the electronic urbanism. So we have something like a vehicle or a diagrammatical thinking in electronic urbanism that always goes, you know, to the work and the electronic urbanism, and the work in the electronic urbanism. And the electronic urbanism evolves. That was something that we have established with Eleni, we knew it. But the new thing with an intervention for Antonino, at the time he has visited the school for 5 years, Dimitrios, it was very, very relevant for me. was that Zenetos focuses on the digital technologies. He's one of the few people in the radicals of the 60s that focuses mainly on the communication technology, and then he traverses it and he finishes with the thing of communication technology at 74, says Antonino. And suddenly all was almost clear, because after the last elaboration of electronic urbanism at 74, before his suicide, Zenetos writes in the notes of the thing that information technology is not the point, biotechnology is the point. So we have a person that at 74 saw that the whole thing was something.
I will summarize some point in Italian. Allora, due cose, vedete la struttura parallela della presentazione, perché la cosa incredibile di Zenetos è che sviluppa questo pensiero che apparentemente si può etichettare dentro la categoria del pensiero utopico e radicale degli anni 50-60. In realtà lui lo fa con una grandissima precisione nella centralità del momento elettronico, e questa è la cosa straordinaria, un punto che non è per nulla chiaro al pensiero radicale, che molto spesso è ancora late mechanic in molte maniere. Questo è un aspetto. Il secondo aspetto è che Zenetos è un costruttore, è un architetto di qualità di opere realizzata paragonabile ai migliori architetti in circolazione. Le due sfere, quella dell'attività costruita e quella dell'attività progettuale, si intersecano e si rafforzano l'una con l'altra. Alcuni fili che rimangono soltanto ipotizzati nel momento della costruzione sono portati avanti nel momento del pensiero teorico di Electronic Urbanism, che è questa specie di work in progress, libro trattato, zibaldone, tante cose insieme. Però questa è una caratteristica molto forte. E poi questa cosa che a noi fa venire abbastanza i brividi, chi si occupa di questo tipo di cose, è quando Dimitris ci ha ricordato che lui nel 74 ha addirittura l'intuizione che in realtà questo mondo non si ferma a livello dell'elettronica e del mondo elettrico che conosciamo, ma si muove e si muoverà in un contesto di tipo biologico e quindi ancora più naturale. Come sapete, i computer di nuova generazione saranno basati su una tecnologia completamente diversa su cui si sta lavorando, che è proprio di questo tipo.
So, we have three parts of this presentation. One is some projects with a few concepts, strong concepts. The other is give you some idea of what it is, electronic urbanism, and the last one is the school of Agios Dimitrios and the thinking of Zenetos, the work we have done. From the projects, there are two concepts of Zenetos, very strong. One is the architecture without end, and the other is slab form architecture. Please say that we have architecture without end. We can start with the apartment building at Amalias Avenue in Athens, the center of Athens, and the one phrase of Zenetos that remains all his life: I have always been concerned with the problem of breaking the box. Breaking the box. What does it mean, breaking the box? The box, that means the architecture as a box, or the box as architecture, dissolves into a three-dimensional web without limits or ends. Only one part of it appears with a particular site, with a particular building, a fragmented local witness of an architecture without limits. Zenetos is at the pursuit of a changeable building, together with the questioning of limits, of the limits will become two constants of the architecture, of his architectural thinking. A construction detail to remark also that he was always were down to resolve every detail of a general concept. Architecture without terms or architecture without limits is always present in his famous building, the Fix Factory, which is a brewery factory in the center of Athens, and which in fact is a wrap-up building. Wrap-up building means that inside this facade, the building goes continuous changes, continuous evolution. The evolution of the building, of the brewery factory, as an effort tries to resolve the problem at the epoch, at the 59, how we could design a building that changing continuously. The concept is not constructed as it was in his thoughts, of course, because it presumed a prefabrication that does not exist at the time of the Greece, and a changeable floor that also does not exist even today. The building as it is today is half of it. They try to demolish it all down, and that is to say that the Greek society was not interested in the building, only the School of Architecture of Athens that stopped the demolition of the building.
Soltanto una sottolineazione di questi due concetti, entrambi come dire appartenenti alla cultura architettonica, che però Zeledos, proprio perché li combina a un sentire elettronico, in qualche maniera diventano qualcosa d'altro. Il primo, questo concetto dell'edificio senza fine, di cui avete visto sia la fabbrica lunga più di un chilometro che si propone proprio come architettura senza fine, e l'altro invece il diagramma di questo web tridimensionale mutante che rappresenta lo spazio intero, di cui l'edificio è soltanto una concretizzazione di una parcella. È interessante questo discorso, perché alcune esiti formali, soprattutto del primo edificio, che possono richiamare il tardo razionalismo anche italiano, in realtà sono fatte all'interno di una cornice concettuale molto, molto diversa, come abbiamo visto. Si prende un discorso che quasi è lasciato, si ferma in un punto e si porta avanti, una specie di terreno in futuro.
We pass to the second one, slab form architecture. For Zenedos, the flat slab carries a human activity which is topological structure. From the beginning, that is from the 50s. The natural condition of the earth does not constitute an environment fact to which we must necessarily adapt ourselves. On the contrary, it is possible to manipulate the natural environment, to sculpt the earth, and construct in the same way construct the architectural work. In residence Cavouri in 64, he is sculpting the earth, and he's facing the problem, how do we construct in a flat environment? In a flat environment, we'll sculpt the earth to give meaning to an environment. In parallel, a residence in Lagonisi, he questions himself, how do we construct in a slope environment? In a slope environment, we have a deformation of the horizontal slab. That is, we deform the slab where it's slope, and he argues in this small house, not very small, but it's half a small project, that we deform the slab following the contours of the ground, and where we need much space, that is the living room, we go forward, and then we need less space, like the bedrooms, we need backwards, and then that reminds us that we have a deformation and an architecture with tensions. That is, not only he deforms the slab, but he has something that, like tensions of the architectural program, put into his architecture. Residence Lagonisi, that was not constructed, and also an urban project, Agia Gallini, who fully develops the question of deforming the slab, and of course not constructing that, but giving flat slabs for people to live in, making the condition for people to transform their activities, support people in live socially, and of course with a communication technology, but this was much more complicated at the epoch. So, for the nature, there is, I think, a dynamic complexity in nature which attracts him, and an ultra-stabilizing dimension in architecture which he seeks to break, that is to say, what interests him always is breaking the box. But what we surely could say for Zenetos is that she was an architect, a person that was always intentional. Intention with himself, and intention with what he was doing.
Okay, I will summarize just this, this point. Qui inserisce un altro concetto, che è la parola chiave topologia, è usata, come vedete, in maniera del tutto appropriata. In tempi, diciamo, in cui c'erano pochissime, anche se alcune ce n'erano, idee di questo tipo. Il progetto è sempre un insieme di forza e intenzione. Veneto stesso è un uomo in tensione, e avete visto per esempio quel progetto in cui i vari slab, i vari solai, come dire, sono spinti avanti e indietro rispetto alle forze interne del programma, e allo stesso tempo trasformano il paesaggio, proprio in un'idea modernamente intesa di topologico, in cui alcune forme entrano in relazione l'una con l'altra, entrano in relazione col paesaggio e entrano in relazione col programma.
Now let's have a look at electronic urbanism, a rapid look, and have an idea. From 52 to 74, Zenetos works continuously on electronic urbanism, but there is some stops that he designs and publish, and that's the first 52, 63, 69, and the last elaboration 73-74. He imagines a web covering the earth, a web without limits, and that reminds us of the project of Amalias Avenue, the architecture without limits. An extensive system of wire suspended level which will host urban activities and especially housing over a protected and free nature. I think that we could open a huge conversation, a huge question, a huge research on the ideas of the radicals of the 60s and on architecture without limits, and also on hanging the architecture over nature or over the city. We know that Zenetos has a close relation with Jona Friedman, but and also with Peter Cook, and I think there's a huge research to see how they construct the technotopias and for what reasons, and what was the scope. Enigmatic phrase of Zenetos that can give us much food for thinking and exploration is that the center is materialized at the moment and at the place of the action. That is, that to have a continuous architecture, that's a continuous web of IT, web of construct environment. And then the center is materialized at any moment and at the place of the action that takes place. Communication technology will allow the widespread connection of people and social groups, permitting them to freely choose their communities, formation and localization. That's the words of the network. So he puts people in technotopia in slabs, then they freely choose the way to form communities, and they communicate with each other, with the workers, with the industry, through communication technology. and this is in 63. Okay. Some of his elaboration, this is one of them, the 69, with the residential axis, with axis of central activity, transmutation axis, units of central activity, open spaces, etc. This is an elaborated, more elaborated project of the previous sketch. This is a sketch of 1961, La Ville Suspendue. And this is a try to see how it works in the region of Athens. But what I think is most important in Zenetos' thinking is that Zenetos does not find a new technology and then project the technology to the future and invite us to change rapidly and drastically the world. Zenetos, there is also always an evolutionary thinking. He always provided for transitional stages. He does not propose finished design, but consecutive scenarios of changes, which are of course elaborated in every detail. For Zenetos, it's not the change that matters, but it's the narrative of changing. That later we can see it very well in the School of Agios, in the School of Agios Dimitri.
Before you come to this, I will summarize only these two points. Due concetti premonti che sono stati detti. Primo, questo concetto che in questo spazio diciamo continuo il centro si materializza dove è l'azione. È un concetto architettonico, è un concetto etico, è un concetto che noi possiamo adoperare anche al nostro essere nella rete, è una di quelle frasi estremamente propulsive che però nel caso di Zenetos diventano anche architettura, non è soltanto ideologia. E poi quest'altro aspetto molto, molto importante che a Zenetos interessa il processo di cambiamento, un concetto evolutivo, come dire, il valore nel movimento evolutivo delle cose piuttosto che nel raggiungimento di un certo stadio finale. E questo è tipico del suo lavoro e quindi lui non propone un salto effettivamente a una condizione X da raggiungere, ma dei passaggi successivi in movimento e li studia anche nei dettagli.
This is a small model he makes at the epoch of one of the phases of the electronic urbanism. Some designs, this is the version I think of 73. Construction details that was worked in collaboration with Bayraktar, who's a young civil engineer. And in 71 they calculated for the first time by specially developed for electronic urbanism. This is a section of the proposition of the last project, that is the project 73-74. Bubbles that topologically position in the slab, and then they form communities, houses, communities, etc. That's
very important.
This is a 3D model that we developed in my office for this version of the electronic urbanism, just for fun. We wanted to look how it looks like, how it was to go through it. So some elements that will work out in this technotopia: membranes, bubbles forming hemispheres, and it's very interesting to notice that he does not know what is parametric glass, but he describes the bubble as two glasses with some sort of gas, it doesn't bother to know, some sort of gas between them that permits to go from total transparency to total opacity, and even says if technology is going to go well, have windows, have window, and then the rest be changed parametrically, then move the window in another way. So how it might be looked from the inside. This is the body carrier that's inside the membrane. It's to walk and relax. This design was awarded in 1969 in the Design 2000 competition, international competition. Of course, prefabricated floor elements with a very different but very just geometry, and finally flexible evolving floors. It said that to have a floor that will take all the functions and parametrically change and take the functions that we want for sleeping, eating, meeting people, etc. And then he concludes, this is for me one of the most important sketches, is the last sketch of the last edition of electronic urbanism. After what we saw, the detail calculated by Bayraktaris with the tensile structures, the parametric floor, the parametric glass, he has one small sketch like that and finishes the whole story, and then he never writes again on electronic urbanism. And he said, what I propose should be, parenthesis, is a non-architecture. Here we have only vertical abstract elements, mass customized support of human activities. We don't have the levels, and curious details as the sphere that is a sphere for recycling the wastes of the community, and electromagnetic waves and nature, all this related in an abstract way and inside the text that seems like pushing away every artifact that's near us and having the man nude and architecture as a non-architecture. That's the feeling we have. And of course we try in a very abstract way, but we're still working on it, to grasp a little bit the nothingness of this last proposition. So, school of argumentation. I consider myself a very, very, very lucky person, because dealing with digital technologies, having, you know, walked a little bit on the network, suddenly, not really suddenly, but suddenly, at least, suddenly, I found myself working on one of his works that still stands in Athens. And more, you know, fortunate, because this work is not restored to be a museum or something, but he's working today as a school. So you have something like Zenetos restarted. School of Agios Dimitrios was a conception of 69 and a construction of 72 to 74. To give you an idea how the building is, it is a cyclical building with classes, laboratories, and all teachers. The rooms of teachers, sorry. Okay. In three levels. For Zenetos, the idea was, natural. At 69, he said that education is not going to be as it is today. It's going to change. Why is it going to change? Because we will have, he said, approximately 25 years, 69, the information technology, approximately. But this application of communication information technology will change the way we must teach the children. So the school will be different. But this was not the problem for Zenetos. Zenetos was to conceive an architecture, a physical construct that will be a carrier for people to go from now, from the 69, to the application of the information technology. That was his architectural problem, that was his main concern.
Ok, dunque avete capito il passaggio, dagli ultimi schemi dell'elettronico urbanismo che scioglie il discorso architettonico in una, in una quasi una non architettura, un'architettura che diventa parte della natura sostanzialmente, e questo altro capitolo della presentazione, perché come vi dicevo all'inizio l'architetto Papalexopoulos ha avuto l'incarico di curare il restauro di una delle opere realizzate da Zenetos, proprio questa scuola molto importante di Agios Dimitrios nei pressi di Atene. E il concetto che vi sta illustrando adesso è, come avevamo detto prima, Zenetos non vuole creare un oggetto fermo come scuola del futuro, ma pur avendo chiarissimo l'idea che circa 25 anni dopo il 69 l'information technology avrebbe avuto un ruolo fondamentale, ma in quel tempo non l'aveva, a lui intendeva creare la scuola come un carrier, come una struttura che in qualche maniera accompagnasse la vita e l'evoluzione delle varie fasi didattiche. E quindi proprio l'idea che, pur avendo questa precisa percezione, sapendo che non era possibile in quel momento nel 69, ma in qualche maniera pensare a come facilitare questa possibile evoluzione, come renderla possibile e di nuovo soprattutto come non pregiudicare attraverso le sue scelte costruite quella che sarebbe stata questa evoluzione.
To provide the structure for flexibility of the plan, that's his idea. At the time, at the epoch, the schools were constructed, maybe today also, with classes lined up. He said that I take this line and I put it in a circle. For what? For what? To have this vision at 69 for a community of 120 students that is four classes of 30 students. And I think this is an extraordinary plan, because he shows all his vision on communication technologies applied in a very concrete project, I think. At the center is the whole community. The whole community is the teacher give lecture to the whole school community. And because it is the whole school community that report a lesson, so they are filmed and they are given as continuous education to the inhabitants of the
neighborhood.
Of the neighborhood. So the important lessons are given as continuous education filmed to the neighborhood. In the periphery, in the close periphery, there is a number of different labs.
Yes.
This?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
This is the center that goes to the community. This is different labs where students are divided and they work with teachers or they follow simulation of experiments that are stored in videotapes for also a later continuous education in the community. And the 10th, at the end of the circle, there is the isolated work of each student looking outwards, connected digitally with the libraries of all the world. I think there's much to say on this project, on this curious thing that what I think is with this work Zanetos finally saw how communication technologies will break the box, and now the whole thing is how to hold together the community with the circle. It's not with architecture that he's going to break the box, it's with communication technology, and now he needs a very strong, locally oriented circle to hold the community at what he believes together.
Di nuovo il concetto del centro si materializza dove c'è l'azione. Questo è un classico caso in cui attraverso la comunicazione, l'information technology, questo specie di cuore pulsante comunica all'esterno, ma architettonicamente ha bisogno di questa idea del centro che si materializza, e quindi la forma del centro, che poi adesso vedrete estremamente dinamica, è quella che riesce a fare architettonicamente questo gioco complesso, no? Cioè, da una parte di relazione e dall'altra parte in qualche maniera di definizione di questo centro. Tra parentesi, questa è la pianta del piano terra, quella che ha anche i rapporti fisici più diretti con la comunità, e uno spazio anche architettonico, poi lo vedremo molto significativo.
And what happens in the other hemisphere? Here are, of course, because technology always changing, the continuous education of the teachers that always need to learn more and learn more and learn more. We know that very well, yes, of course.
We know. In
that school,
we know.
To teach the students. Okay. So maybe I think we can make the hypothesis we have there first description of a hybrid space, that it's a collective in the connection between the school and the community. It's an individual student interconnection without of school space, teacher interconnection with data sources, etc. Some photos. This is the photo of the school when he was constructed. This is the photo of the school, how we have taken it for the restoration also. We have built a detailed model to help us understand the building structure and guide the renovation. Also to control new structural elements that naturally have to put for seismic protection. And of course the 3D model for measuring and positioning the secondary elements of the construction. Some photos of the works. All was torn down, only the structure remained the same. Very difficult operation from linking the columns between them, also for additional protection.
Carbon glass.
Hard to look tight at a certain moment. but the construction of the Louvre was a very, very difficult job that could not be made industrially. They had to make it in place because the change with synchrony was very, very small. The constructor, Athena in the center, who was from my office, one of the persons that was majorly work with the restoration. This slide could have sometimes the color fight. The colors. A visit of a friend. Mr. Panayotis, the hero of the work, constructed in the place of the time, and the first time the children came into the school again, that moment, and the school as it is today finished. Okay. To conclude, some thoughts. So, maybe the constant projection toward the future and the getting free from the present dominates Sinetos' thought. In electronic urbanism and his constructive work, he deals with the contemporary problems through vectors of the scale of what surrounds him. That was his main attitude. Every reasoning which supports his design decision contains the promise of transition towards what he calls distant future, defining the present form, while at the same time proposing its transformation in the future. Thus, I think his design and works become machines of becoming. Of course, for the method of transformation is due to information technology. And what we need today in the network is a concrete way to deal with a changing paradigm. That is, one, design the physical framework allowing the people to make decisions about the digital perspective of their own environment, and at the same time us continue in parallel projecting evolving digital vision as we show in this exposition. We have to do both. It's a tension, I know, it's a dichotomy, but sorry, it's that way we have to do. Construct and vision. That is, constructive work and digital vision. Maybe we have to be grounded and ungrounded, in a continuous loop. Because we have to design in an evolving environment, or we have to design an evolving environment, I don't know, maybe it's the same. All we have to virtualize, problematize, question any present application, even of information technology. Except, at the same time, we have to question all what we see in that exposition. At the same time, we have to hack it, if I may use. We have to deny any stability, and of course, I think we have decided to be indifferent for the ultimate form, but this is a personal thing. Thank you.
Avete la possibilità di fare delle domande all'architetto, se volete.
Prego. Un'osservazione, è molto particolare vedere un architetto che finisce la sua carriera, anche se in maniera tragica, nel 77, quando poi la sua architettura è attuale, molto attuale. Nel 77, quando ancora l'architettura moderna ancora doveva prendere piede, ed è molto particolare. Poi la cosa da dove nasce la mia domanda, che non so se avrà una risposta, è il linguaggio che è stato utilizzato per descrivere questa architettura. Abbiamo utilizzato termini come web, morphing, connessione, disconnessione. Allora la mia domanda è, l'architetto, nel suo tempo, che linguaggio utilizzava per descrivere queste architetture?
Benissimo, d'accordo. Altre domande? C'è una sola sessione di domande, quindi questo è il vostro momento se volete farle. Ci sono altre domande? Perché tradurrò una volta sola. Prego, altre domande? È la vostra chance di sapere qualcosa in più di Genetos? Sono in grado di tradurlo. Altre domande? Un'altra domanda? Ok, nessuno? I will translate for you the questions. There are three questions. You want one after the other or the three together? One after the other? How you prefer? Okay, the first question, I mean, there is an intervention that the intervention was saying that was strange to see, interesting on a way to see this architect that stops his life in 77, Bernard Shumi and Zaha Hadid and Rem Koolhaas were just in and out of AAA in those years, so the new generation of architecture didn't start yet, but that was just an observation. The question is very interesting because it's saying, okay, you are using words such as topological, web, information technology, and others. Actually, Zenetos, what kind of word he used? They were the same or not? Topological, for example. He was using topological? In other words, like that?
Yes, but not in a. Not in a very, very strict mathematical way. As relations between things that could change. For information technology, he used the word communication technology, very, very, very rare time, information technology, information techniques, because the word information technology does not exist, but was communication technology. But when he speaks of communication technology, he speaks of telework, telemedicine, teleeducation. And he was a member of the team of Scientific American, so he was very, very well aware of the future trends. And morphing, no, morphing is, I think it's in the text, it's one of my
interpretation. But topological, you use the word topological.
Yes.
Kind of, but yes. They're Greek, English, English, French. But in some cases, yes, in some cases.
When you go to biology, there are also terms, or the technobiology, or, there are also terms that we'll try with Eleni to find it. There are strange terms that if you ask doctors or technicians, you find that the terms evolved in terms of today.
Come cibernetica, no? Che non usiamo più, usiamo altre parole oggi. E, ok, soddisfatto? The second question he was telling his experience of reading the book and noticing a very interesting aspect that Xenakis really was not so much for formal manipulation or other aspects. This really was interesting in function, on a way. Information technology was needed because of how we envisioned the new functions, in a way. So on that way, the function, the new functions, in a way, were really the driven force, and not so much the formal aspect. Really, I think that is clearly related to many other issues of the book. Is it true? You agree?
And after that about 73 information technology. So to produce to put a model of production that don't put constraint.
Okay.
For the future.
Okay.
From one part, and from the other, to pass over the question of the ownership of
land.
Ralph Mouchier.
Yes, move along.
And okay.
No, vuoi parlare francese dentro? Traduire, c'è con francese. Believe it or not.
Il problema della rente foncière è il finanziamento delle grandi entreprise che investono nel logement. Allora, ils veulent che l'habitat sia qualcosa che può changer. Et que les gens sont libres de transformer leur environnement d'une moment à l'autre.
L'architetto che è l'altra autrice, come vi ricordate, l'architetto Carafati, puntualizza questa idea anche di un modello in qualche modo in una fase costruttivo, perché c'è una storia della tecnologia di cui loro si sono occupati che si combina con questi aspetti, e poi soprattutto questo discorso dell'habitat, del logement come qualcosa in evoluzione, non, di cui l'abitante non era diciamo costretto in una situazione, ma effettivamente che si potesse evolvere nel tempo. Ha puntualizzato questi altri due aspetti che fanno parte del tuo discorso, cioè sono aspetti, diciamo, di questa idea dinamica di funzione, etica direi anche, perché chiaramente è quello il discorso, perché diciamo affondare il tema funzionale alla sua base vuol dire fare un ragionamento etico, evidentemente, e quindi poi tutte le cose tornano. E, comunque, grazie per entrambe le domande. Ce n'è una terza, because we have friends that are also artists, and artists look things differently, and then we love to have them. And Costantino Orosin was noticing that he was suggesting that you could do some simulation of your 3D model with light because this was envisioning how the architecture can change with all this, with the change of natural light and as well as artificial light. So what we see just a hard architecture there is seeing as a scenarios, a moving scenarios. And so he was saying it could be psychedelics, it could be a lot of fun also. So I think some of the students can do a simulation of that. I think it's very nice.
Thank you. That must be one of the directions.
Yes.
We start thinking, because you know, Jeanette was a very, very happy person with humor. She could not understand if we were thinking that we're, you know, analyzing. He said, well, and to do, go. Mm-hmm. Have a beer, analyze me. So start, you know, start playing with electronic urbanism. So we will advance in that direction too. We played with deformations. Then is under under work a project that we said that what if we take out all the levers and let the bubbles fall to Athens, tuck, into the existing, you know, because we are working always in the existing, you know. So let the bubbles, so there are many directions.
Yes, it's, I think it's a good end. Thank you.
Thank you.